Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Management of Savagery by Max Blumenthal is a 2019 work of investigative political history published by Verso Books. It examines the relationship between United States national security policy, militant Islamist movements, the post-9/11 wars, and the domestic political environment that helped produce Donald Trump. The book belongs to the critical foreign policy and war on terror genre, but it is written with the urgency and adversarial tone of investigative journalism rather than the detached style of academic history. Its central purpose is to argue that the United States did not merely respond to terrorism, but repeatedly helped create the conditions in which jihadist organizations gained power. Blumenthal links Cold War covert operations, interventions in Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and Syria, and media narratives about terrorism into one broader indictment of the national security state. The result is a provocative account that challenges official explanations while also attracting criticism for selective framing and disputed claims. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Cold War support for Islamist militancy as the origin of modern blowback. A major thread in the book is the argument that the roots of Al-Qaeda cannot be understood without examining United States policy during the Soviet-Afghan War. Blumenthal emphasizes the decision to fund, arm, and support Islamist fighters in Afghanistan as a strategic Cold War move intended to weaken the Soviet Union. In his account, this policy did more than assist a temporary battlefield ally. It helped strengthen transnational jihadist networks, gave prestige to militant leaders, and normalized the use of religious extremism as a tool of geopolitical competition. The importance of this argument lies in its challenge to the idea that groups such as Al-Qaeda emerged in isolation from great power politics. Blumenthal treats blowback not as an accident, but as a structural consequence of covert intervention once states cultivate irregular forces for short-term advantage. They cannot fully control the ideological, military, and regional effects that follow. This framework also shifts responsibility away from a simple clash between civilizations and toward the decisions of intelligence agencies, foreign policy planners, and allied governments. The book, therefore, asks readers to see terrorism as partly produced by the same security architecture later claiming authority to defeat it. Secondly, the war on terror as a system that expands the threats it claims to defeat. Blumenthal presents the post-9/11 war on terror as a self-reinforcing system rather than a linear campaign against a fixed enemy. The book argues that invasions, drone campaigns, proxy wars, detention practices, and security narratives repeatedly generated resentment, instability, and recruitment opportunities for extremist organizations. This does not mean the book denies the agency or brutality of jihadist groups. Rather, it argues that United States actions magnified their reach by destroying state institutions, empowering sectarian actors, and creating political vacuums in which armed groups could present themselves as defenders against foreign occupation or local repression. The reasoning is causal, and political military force may remove leaders or disrupt cells, but when it also produces civilian suffering and delegitimizes governments, it can widen the social base from which insurgent movements draw support. Blumenthal is especially critical of the way official language turns these outcomes into evidence that more intervention is necessary. In this sense, the book portrays the national security state as a bureaucracy, whose failures become arguments for its own expansion. The war on terror becomes not only a response to violence, but also a mechanism for reproducing the conditions that sustain it. Thirdly, Iraq, Syria, and Libya as laboratories of intervention-driven fragmentation. The book extends its critique beyond Afghanistan by examining later interventions and conflicts in Iraq, Libya, and Syria. Blumenthal treats these cases as examples of how regime change policies and indirect warfare can shatter societies while empowering the most ruthless armed actors. In Iraq, the destruction of the state after the 2003 invasion and the sectarian dynamics that followed are presented as central to the conditions from which ISIS emerged. In Libya, the NATO-backed campaign against Muammar Gaddafi is framed as another intervention that replaced authoritarian rule with militia fragmentation and weapons proliferation. In Syria, Blumenthal focuses on the complications of supporting opposition forces in a battlefield where jihadist factions became powerful. The concrete point across these examples is that intervention rarely operates in a clean moral field. External powers may claim humanitarian or counter-terrorist goals, but once institutions collapse and arms flow into unstable environments, local power struggles intensify. Blumenthal argues that policymakers and media institutions often treat each crisis as separate. While the book insists on continuity, repeated interventions create recurring patterns of destabilization, proxy dependence, and extremist opportunity. This comparative structure is one of the reasons the book stands apart from narrower accounts of a single war. Fourthly, foreign policy failure as a source of domestic political backlash. One distinctive feature of the book is its attempt to connect international conflict to the rise of Donald Trump. Blumenthal argues that Trump was not merely a product of domestic polarization, media spectacle, or economic grievance. He also emerged from a political environment shaped by decades of war, surveillance, fear of terrorism, and public exhaustion with bipartisan foreign policy consensus. The book suggests that the national security state helped create the conditions for a demagogue who could denounce failed wars while also intensifying xenophobia, militarism, and authoritarian political language. This argument is significant because it links foreign policy to democratic decline at home. Endless war does not stay overseas. It reshapes political culture by normalizing emergency powers, suspicion of outsiders, reverence for force, and contempt for institutional accountability. Blumenthal sees 9/11 and its aftermath as central to this transformation. The wars justified by counterterrorism created disillusionment with establishment elites, while the fear produced by terrorism made harsh nationalist rhetoric politically effective. The book, therefore, interprets Trump as both a critic and beneficiary of the war on terror order he exploited anger at failed interventions, while preserving many of the habits of aggression and securitized politics that those interventions strengthened. Lastly, a confrontational investigative method that provokes both praise and skepticism. The book is shaped by Blumenthal as a journalist known for adversarial criticism of United States foreign policy and mainstream media. Its strengths come from that posture it gathers controversial episodes into a unified narrative, questions official claims, and foregrounds the incentives of intelligence agencies, defense contractors, political elites, and media organizations. Supporters have praised the book for challenging pro-intervention assumptions and for making connections that more conventional accounts often treat cautiously. At the same time, its method has drawn criticism. Reviewers such as Lydia Wilson in the Times Literary Supplement argued that parts of the book overstate the case, rely on one-sided examples, and move toward conspiracy-minded interpretation. This debate matters because the book sits at the boundary between investigative critique and polemic. Its value depends partly on whether readers accept its pattern-based reasoning across multiple conflicts, and partly on how they judge disputed claims within particular cases. The most careful way to read it is neither as a neutral textbook nor as disposable provocation. It is best approached as a forceful counter-narrative that can broaden inquiry, but whose claims should be weighed against other historical, journalistic, and scholarly sources. In conclusion, The Management of Savagery is best suited for readers interested in critical accounts of United States foreign policy, the war on terror, intelligence operations, and the political consequences of intervention. It will appeal most to those who already suspect that official explanations of terrorism leave out the role of state power, covert action, and military strategy. Its intellectual benefit is that it forces readers to connect events often studied separately: the Afghan Jihad, 9/11, Iraq, ISIS, Syria, Libya, surveillance politics, media narratives, and Trump-era nationalism. Even readers who disagree with Blumenthal can gain from testing his claims against more conventional histories. Because the book asks questions about causality, accountability, and unintended consequences that remain central to understanding modern security policy. Compared with many books in the same category, it stands out for the breadth of its indictment and for linking foreign interventions to domestic political backlash. It is less cautious than academic histories and more openly polemical than many journalistic accounts, which is both its strength and its limitation. Readers should approach it as a challenging counter-narrative rather than a final authority. Its practical value lies in sharpening skepticism toward simplified war narratives and encouraging a more systemic view of how security policies can produce insecurity. If you would like to support Max Blumenthal, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.